Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude. It's been a couple weeks that we've been away, but we are happy to be back. Sometimes life gets in the way, but we got our schedule, our recording schedule back on track, and this week we have got a special episode. I've got everybody's favorite co-host with me. State your name.
Daphne J.
You're extra happy today, aren't you?
I am.
Why is that?
I have a mimosa.
You're always drinking or eating all the time.
And I have my friends here today.
As well with you.
Yes.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Friends, introduce yourself to the show.
Hi, this is Little Sparrow here.
And this is our wild card.
You guys have heard of Little Sparrow and our wild card a few times. Little Sparrow was our first letter writer. So you see, when you write into the show... Or when you comment, we find a way to get you on
you
the show.
You could be a special guest.
You could be, we flew her all the way from, well, we're not going to tell you where.
No,
but we sent a plane ticket just so she could show up on the show. And our wild card, as everybody knows, is our web designer. Is that the right word to put
yeah,
it?
That works.
Web designer, webmaster. So if anyone's gone on caveofsolitude.com and seen how easy it is to navigate, it's because of our wild card. And... should we break down the fourth wall a little bit more?
Do it.
Yeah? Okay. Our wild card and Little Sparrow are also a match made in space, like
what?
Me and Daphne J. They're husband and wife as well. So today we're celebrating a family day in our city, and we get to be all together. So we decided to do our first podcast of many, hopefully.
Yeah.
They're pretty much our only listeners, right? So
no, don't tell people that.
I'm just kidding. So... what do you guys want to talk about today, being your first time on the show? We'll leave the floor to you guys.
Movies.
Movies?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Daphne J had this good idea.
Yes.
Okay.
Of a game.
Mm-hmm.
That where you... what was it?
That we should come up with iconic movie posters. Like, what are the ones that we remember when, like, growing up with, or that you just see the movie poster, you may not know what it's about, but you know you recognize that movie poster.
Mm-hmm.
Without even seeing, like, the title of the movie.
Right.
You know what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
So, how are you going to play this game? Is there rules to it, or are we just going to list them off, go in a circle?
Let's go in a circle, because I think also that would give us a little bit background of what we grew up mm-hmm. with, what we like. It gives... the audience, our listeners, a taste of who is behind the mic.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right, you want to start?
I'm getting hot.
I feel a little bit judged.
They're going to judge you on this one.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. So you want to start, Daphne J, with your classic movie poster, things
yes.
that come to your mind?
I think one of the most iconic movie posters that is out there was one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid.
Okay.
And it's Jurassic Park. Mm. Right, with the skeleton.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Like I don't even think it had to have, I think it did have the movie title at the end,
yeah.
but if you just see it on its own, you know what it is, and they're going to come up with they're doing a new movie, right?
Yeah.
When does that come out?
I think it's in the summertime.
Do we know the logo to that one yet?
I think it's the same. Yeah, pretty much the
see?
Same.
Can't mess with
the yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it's iconic. And I don't know if that was the icon to the symbol of the book at the time when it
I
came
think
out.
So, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
But I mean, Steven Spielberg movies are always known for their posters, their
yeah.
automatic logos or marketing. What's the word I'm looking for? Logos, I guess. Right. Automatically, it's something you can sell. So, in line with Steven Spielberg, I'm gonna say probably the most iconic movie poster of all time is Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything that's more identifiable than that.
Swimming, right? The chick is swimming at the top, and then the shark is coming in.
Yeah, you already know everything you need to know about that movie going in, what it's going to be about, just from that poster.
Well, because isn't there two? Isn't there one with just the letters?
No, I think there's always the girl swimming.
It's just
on the
swimming,
top.
Okay.
Yeah, with the shark. Okay, wild card.
One of the first movie posters I remember seeing was Home Alone. And that sticks in my mind. It's the first one I've ever saw. Maybe not the best one, but when I see it, I know exactly what it is.
You recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
John Hughes movie. It's good.
So this is not from my childhood, because my parents were not, like, sci-fi fans. But when I see the movie poster from Dune,
Okay.
It's just, it's very, you know, it's got like the sand from Arrakis, the sand planet, and then the two blue moons. And...
So I've never heard of this.
Yeah, I know.
So what is this about?
I don't want to talk about that.
Why?
Right now.
Is it an alien movie? Like
a, yeah, no, it's science fiction.
Okay.
It's a kind of a Messiah story, kind
of
like.
Sort of.
Star
like,
Wars.
Yeah.
Messiah story kind of deal.
Okay.
The book's really good. The movie.
It's been a little weird.
The movie's weird.
Not that great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the poster is iconic.
But the poster, yeah. Like, and it was always, it was a regular feature of one of my favorite TV shows, Chuck.
Okay.
And so the poster's in his room, and it plays an important part in his story, so.
And they dress up as the sand monster.
And they, yeah, so there's a lot of Dune influence in Chuck, and I really liked Chuck, and it's what kind of got me interested in the whole Dune situation there.
See? A little background on the sparrow.
Oh,
there you go.
Science fiction sparrow nerd.
Okay, go ahead, Dad.
I don't like watching this movie because it makes me sad.
Okay.
I cry.
Marley and Me.
Ah, that's a good one, the Marley and Me. But what I had in mind was a Steven Spielberg's creation, E.T.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
Memorable there.
I think, Steven Spielberg movies are easily the most memorable movie posters. Because what I'm going to say next is another one of his, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm. Is that with his face?
It's right got, there's a couple of versions of it, but all of those Indiana Jones movies are like, they're painted, and it shows like different scenes from the movie, but it doesn't give anything away, and it's just, you get the sense of adventure, you get the fact that it's going to be this huge quest, and it's not going to be like a, it's not really sci-fi, but it's going to be something that, I don't know, it's kind of like a Western, but an adventure in its own right, so I don't know, Indiana Jones, I love that movie poster. Wild card.
My next one is Stargate. I really loved seeing that. It was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Okay.
I was very scared watching it, but it was pretty awesome.
I never knew what the Stargate was about.
So good.
Was that like a knockoff of the Star Trek?
No.
Oh.
No, it was like soldiers that end up on a space planet and able to...
So the Stargates are like these ports from planet to planet?
Wormholes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is it the one with the pyramid?
Yeah.
That's a cool movie poster.
The very first one before the TV.
I was so excited to see the movie when I saw that poster.
Yeah, it's a cool poster. And where would you rank that movie for yourself? Is it one of your favorite movies, or is it?
That's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not my favorite movie, but it's up there.
It's in that thing of if you have that movie to own, you got to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Little Sparrow.
I'm a little bit stuck on this next one.
It's just Dune for you. That's
no,
it.
No. I was actually gonna say Gattaca. That was a memorable movie poster. And judging from Daphne J's face right now, she has no idea what that sci-fi gem is all about either. So that's with Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Jude Law is also in that movie. And
isn't that where they wear all white?
No.
Okay.
No.
They had to dress up.
I know
all
nothing.
All your sci-fi cred is out the window after this episode. You don't want that Jake talking about nothing.
Well, it's a memorable movie poster, but the movie itself is also pretty cool. It's like set in the future where they genetically modify children. And if you are like a love child, you are considered a weakness and you will not achieve anything because you haven't been adjusted to be a functional, useful human being. So Ethan Hawke's character is kind of pitted against his brother, who was genetically engineered, but then he becomes more than his brother does just by, you know, trying.
Being a normal human.
And being a normal human being. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Is
drama.
Kind of like the, not the movie, but like that thing of being adjusted to being a certain type of person in society. Isn't that kind of like Brave New World? Did you guys read that book?
Mm-hmm.
Where all the humans at that point are kind of grown, and it's kind of decided which part of society you're going to be in. Is that kind of like what Gattaca's
That's
like?
That's what that is. But it's if you're not genetically modified, you're a cleaner.
But you still have parents. Like, you're just basically, like, artificially...
Yeah. They made a version of Superman like that.
Mm.
When they rebooted it, they made it so that everybody would be... part of a specific class. You'd be part of a science guild or like the military or artists, and then you were, nobody was born. So that's why I guess in the Man of Steel movie, when they had the child from natural causes, it was like going against everything they had established. So
mm-hmm.
kind of in the same.
Was Jude Law's character genetically modified in
yes.
that movie? But
yes,
then
he was.
So then yeah, so then he was in an accident and couldn't fulfill what his like destiny was. So Ethan Hawke's character assumes the identity of Jude Law's character, and that's how he's able to go travel into space.
Mm, cool.
Don't spoil it.
Whatever. Come on. Spoilers.
Okay, Daph, you want to keep going? You got more?
This is one more round?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Want to do one more round or all two right, more rounds?
My favorite one's
coming
up.
We can do two more rounds. I just really got to think about it.
Okay.
Okay. One of the other ones, the Iron Link falls in the sci-fi world.
Mm-hmm.
Independence Day.
Mm, good
that's
one.
A good movie poster.
That movie
yeah.
poster is terrifying.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. That's
yeah.
a good movie. Iconic.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And you still like you're still eating cookies every episode. You got your mouth. I'm not gonna ask you any questions because it's gonna come out muffled. My next one would be 1989 Batman, Tim Burton
mm-hmm.
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Just the bat symbol, nobody's face on it. Every not even any words. Just
mm-hmm.
the bat symbol, and you knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that year, I don't think Batman had ever been more popular. People were getting it. Shaved into their haircuts back then. And I remember I heard a story, I mean, obviously I didn't see it, but in New York, Times Square, they actually had a bat symbol that would go up at night during that summertime because it was such a big deal.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Batman poster, 1989.
Mine is another Tim Burton movie. He's my favorite director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
This is the movie. It is Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
This one here.
That's a cool movie poster.
This is one of my favorite movie posters.
Yeah.
It is the Frankenstein of Tim Burton's movies. It is phenomenal. Anyway, my favorite song in there is Ice Dance. I recommend it to everyone.
Okay. I like that movie. I can't get Daph J to watch it with me, though.
No?
She freaks her out. Yeah, she
yeah.
doesn't. She says,
I've
like,
seen
the, well,
pieces of it. I think I may have seen the entire movie, but in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. And I think I feel sad at the end for him. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. You should feel sad for him.
Yeah,
at the end.
It's intended to.
It's a good one.
It makes me laugh parts of it because there's like things from our childhood that's in there, like the Avon lady.
Mm-hmm.
So like she's going around doing stuff, and it's just it's funny watching it now as an adult.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot too.
What do you got
do
for us?
You remember because we're old enough to remember. What it felt like to go through the video store.
Yeah.
yeah.
and just see, like, the covers of movies. So maybe not, like, the posters.
But usually the same thing.
But, and I never saw this movie, but the movie cover to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no, that's
is a very memorable.
Yeah.
What?
It's
like, it's
a Johnny
it's like
Depp
the
movie.
Melting painting of the guy with the glasses on and...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's like...
It's a little bit weird, but
it's trippy.
Kind of,
but it's extremely iconic. I remember seeing that poster on like at the bus stops as a kid, and
mm-hmm.
not knowing what the heck that was about, but it was everywhere.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
definitely iconic.
Yeah, that's weird bug eye kind of look.
Yeah. Daph J, one more. No cheating.
I'm not cheating. I'm actually thinking of The Lion King.
Oh, me too.
I had the bed sheets and everything.
So
did
you cry?
Fan.
Did you cry?
You know, I did when Mufasa
when Scar
went,
throws
oh,
it.
Terrible.
I know.
Terrible. But that was the one.
That's
just
your, last, your final pick?
That's your is that your most iconic? That
of
comes
all time?
To your, no, that just comes to your mind as like a movie poster that just... Yeah, maybe yours. Not what you think is the best all time, but yours of all time.
Like child, yeah, like, I was a big fan
mm-hmm.
of the Simba. I had, like, the little figure
mm-hmm.
with Mufasa and Simba,
mm-hmm.
and I had it for, like, a good couple of years, and I, like, maybe about 2 or 3 years, and then I finally noticed that in this little figurine, Simba had his paw on the ground in Mufasa's imprint.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when he... Like, grew up and, like, when he was all disappointed in Simba, and they went for that walk,
mm-hmm.
and then he taught him about the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh my goodness, look at it! So, attached
mm-hmm.
to The Lion King.
Yeah.
as a kid.
That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah. And the songs were a hit, too.
Oh, yeah. All the performing. Hey, Ferris Bueller was freaking Simba.
I didn't know that.
What?
Matthew Broderick.
Hmm.
He was Simba.
No, he wasn't.
When he was older. Yes, he was.
Older?
Okay.
Oh, the as little one was Jonathan,
no, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. But grown up, Simba was Ferris Bueller.
Was it really?
Yes, yeah, so Ferris Bueller becomes a king at the end of the day. Told you. This one's hard because there's a couple that I want to pick, but I'm going to have to go with Back to the Future.
Mm. You guys shouldn't have saved like all my favorite ones. But yeah,
Back to the Future is my favorite movie, but the movie poster is awesome too with him turning up the glasses. And I used to have a book that had all of the concept movie posters that they were thinking about coming out with. And some of those are pretty cool as well, but nothing beats that. It's simple. It's just Marty with the back the road in the background with the car door open and him being shocked at not knowing what time or day it is. That's probably my favorite. Wild card?
One of the most iconic ones for me is The Matrix. It has that green scroll coming down.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever seen it, and then it showed up everywhere after. It was screensavers. It was just all over the place, this green scrolling text.
Is that what the movie poster was? It was just the text, and then Matrix didn't have Keanu and...
They have that one, too.
Yeah,
because like that's what I always think
black
of.
Leather,
yeah,
the people
every time
flanked,
I,
but yeah, no.
I always think of them, but the original movie poster wasn't that.
It was just the green binary...
I thought so.
...falling, wasn't it?
You're probably right, because that does ring a bell, but I'm so used to seeing the DVD cover with... The three of them on it. Let's see. Let's look it up. We all got our devices here because we like to ignore each other when we're together.
My friends came over today.
This is one here. It has Keanu Reeves with some text scrolling down beside it.
That's cool.
Yeah, but
that's
the
a
text
cool movie
is
poster.
You...
Yeah, you're right. This one. Look at that one. I know you guys can't see it, but that
see
one's
that.
Even.
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
That's a cool movie poster.
I still don't understand what it's all about.
I have to just say it. That's a podcast for another day.
Like, yeah, we should do
just,
a podcast. And we
so
just
over my like I get it, and then I just don't get it. And in my personal opinion, I don't think the next two were needed to happen. Did they?
I don't think so. I think people liked the first movie so much that they wanted to.
They wanted to
more.
Just make money.
Yeah, well, to see. I guess Neo at his full power, like what he'd be capable of, what the next adventure was.
The third one.
He's just capable of dying, basically.
But
yeah, I don't know. I remember
it just,
the first one. And
I remember the second one when he went into that room with the guy with the white beard, and I'm like, is that supposed to be God that he's talking to?
I am so confused.
He is the architect.
Yeah, he's the architect. So yeah, I was...
Tuck that nerd back.
Yeah, I was...
IT Ryan coming out.
Will Ferrell does a way better job as the architect.
Yes, that's true. That SNL skit is...
No, it wasn't
pretty...
SNL. That was for the... it was for an award show.
Yeah,
oh,
I think you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
With, what's his face? Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
As Keanu?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Little Sparrow, you got your last one?
It's kind of a tie. Because both of these movies came out when I was 10 years old. And I really liked both of them. So my first one, is Apollo 13. With Tom Hanks, like, in the this one. See, he's looking, he's scared.
Yeah.
Right?
That
movie,
you're
like, edge
That's
of your
good.
Seat, this movie. It's just, it kills me. So good. We watched it on the cruise ship. Were
well,
you there?
That's right.
Yeah?
No, we didn't watch
no,
it, but I remember you guys saying you watched
too bad.
It.
It was good. And the other one is Star Trek Generations.
You might want to tuck that nerd back in your pocket.
It's got, it's good. It's got Kirk and Picard. Mm-hmm. And there's some, it's good. It's a good one.
All right.
It's like the planet with the faces and
yeah,
I think I know the one you got.
You know what? That has to be iconic because I don't do the Star Trek thing, but I know exactly what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They stole a lot of their movie posters from Star Wars.
Ah.
I don't like what you just said.
If you look at the movie posters,
makes
it's
sense.
Like
Star
face,
Wars
face,
is
face,
wicked.
Face, face.
No, that's
planet.
Not. It's
face, 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 planet.
Huh.
I kind of.
If you look at First Contact,
a little bit disagree
same deal.
With you.
Not every movie, but those two.
So how... No.
Well, we all know Star Wars is better. than Star Trek.
I like them equally.
I'm just kidding. I wanted to see Little Sparrow.
Look at that. First Contact right there. Check it out. You got a planet.
I didn't say... Did I say First Contact?
Okay.
No.
You said Generations.
I said Generations. Yep. And there is no Star Wars.
But it's still in the Star Trek
that
family.
That looks like Generations.
Oh, look at that.
This one. Okay. Yep. The planet, it even looks like the little insignia thing.
That's a cool poster.
Okay. You're welcome, everybody. Two captains, one destiny.
So.
That's all.
Having said that, Little Sparrow wanted to do Picks of the Week.
Oh.
So, speaking of Star Wars, or Star Trek, you said you had a specific Pick of the Week. Share it with us.
Okay, so if you are a fan of the original series, which you're not, so I don't know why I'm talking to you. Listeners, if you are a fan of the original series, then you should read the book called Star Trek Final Frontier by Diane Carey. She's a Canadian author. And the book picks up where the episode of season 2 entitled City on the Edge of Forever leaves off. And it gives you a background story of Captain Kirk with what happened to his father and how the Enterprise was kind of like created and the backstory behind the ship and the relationship between the Federation and the Romulans. And it's just so good. So good. I couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop reading this book.
You really liked it, didn't you?
I liked it so much. So much. Yeah. So that's my pick of the week.
Nice.
Pick it
good
up.
Pick.
Read it. Enjoy it. Love it.
Okay. Who is the author again?
Diane Carey.
Okay. Diane Carey. Mm-hmm. And it's Star Trek Final Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a
I
movie
hope that's
title.
What it's called.
I think you're right. I think when you were reading it, I saw it.
It should have been a movie.
Yeah.
But it was not. Unfortunately.
Okay, cool.
It would have been a good movie had it actually been a movie, but it's a good book.
See, we don't have enough Star Trek people that come on. Like me, I don't watch it. Daphne J doesn't watch it. Joey Siegel is.
Yeah,
or
I know
Jay
how
Siegel
he feels
is,
about it.
Yeah. So.
Hey, Joey, how's it going?
So, wild card?
Well, I kind of said it earlier. My pick of the week is that the song from Ice Dance from Edward Scissorhands.
That's
awesome
pretty good
song.
Week.
Yeah.
Good
if
job.
You're feeling just kind of mellow, you listen to that song and it fits the mood.
Is that the one where he's carving the ice
yeah.
sculpture and she's dancing? Yeah, that's
yeah.
a nice song. That plays through the whole movie though, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Pretty much. But there's some
who's
piano
the
renditions that are just phenomenal.
What's the composer?
Danny Elfman.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of awesome stuff, right?
He did Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He usually is the intro to our show. We have elements of Danny Elfman music, so good pick. You got one, Daph J?
I do now.
What? If you don't have one, that's okay.
It's a creation, actually, of the Little Sparrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is it?
So, I believe it was inspired from the Montreal region.
I know where you're going with this.
And it has to do with bacon.
Everybody loves bacon.
But the Little Sparrow concocted this whole thing with bacon and, I guess, syrup of
what?
Some sort. No.
There is some syrup.
Are you talking
in
about
there?
The jam?
Yeah, bacon
well,
jam.
It's, yeah, it's.
Take it away.
It's your pick. You have to talk about it.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Yeah, so what is it? You put stuff in it.
Is it a cooking show now?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us what the bacon jam is.
It's bacon.
Obviously.
And then
phenomenal.
you enhance the bacon by adding other ingredients so that it all simmers down into a nice, sticky, delicious jam, which goes very well with Quebec cheese. And French baguette. My second pick of the week is the city of Montreal. Go there and enjoy it.
So bacon jam, cheese,
yeah,
baguette.
Yeah.
So you're talking about eating. Your pick of the week
it's
is
It's usually
eating.
Your pick of the week is food. Bologna, the cookies you're eating, mimosas.
Yeah. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I said before the show started that this show is going to be sponsored by gout. With all the decadent food that we enjoy having.
And cholesterol.
Yeah.
Bacon
but
jam.
It's okay. Live life and enjoy it. That's my motto.
I don't know if I have a pick of the week. I've read so many different things, I can't think of, even remember what I read. I'm reading this graphic novel from Image Comics called Alex and Ada, and it's not a superhero book, it's just a sci-fi drama, and it's about a guy in the future who lives on his own after a bad breakup, and his grandmother, for his birthday, is encouraging him to get, this is a time where they have, like, androids living now, but you can basically use them for whatever you want, but there's certain laws that are set in place that they can't be programmed to, I think, be like free sentient beings. They have to have like a limit. So the grandma buys him one to keep him company and to have like a partner in life, and it's him not being able to adjust to, like, he didn't want it at all because it just creeps him out, but then the book is slowly him just adjusting to having that kind of companionship. It sounds creepy, but it's not as creepy as it
like
sounds.
A safety man?
No, just like, I don't know if you guys ever remember that movie Bicentennial Man, mm-hmm. with Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. It kind of has that sort of feel to it, but I think there's more, it's a little bit more serious, I guess. Because it's Image Comics or always make their stuff a little bit more tailored to adults. This is a teen-rated book. Usually Image, when they put the M for mature, it's way out of line and over the top. So I'm kind of wary to read Image, but this was pretty clean and pretty, yeah, anybody can kind of read it. It's good. So I recommend that.
Cool.
All right. So before we started our show, we all got together and watched the classic 1980s film. We're sticking with that. Last time we did Ferris Bueller's Day Off. This time we watched another classic from 1988, I think it was. And it was Tom Hanks in what I think is his breakout role in the silver screen was Big. cue the music when he's in the mall or the toy store. So everybody's seen that movie before, right? Before, how did you remember it well enough, or was it like watching it? What did you guys remember from that movie this time around? Anything?
I remember the apartment that he has. Mm-hmm. It has to be like the coolest apartment if you are a 13-year-old.
I think it's the coolest apartment if you're a 30-year-old. That thing is huge.
The bed's
huge.
A little small. Your legs are kind of hanging off.
Yeah, the bed's ridiculous. But the actual space. Yeah,
I'd have a trampoline in my house right now if I
loft,
could.
Yeah,
for sure. The loft was awesome,
the windows
too.
And the floor. 50-foot
ceiling?
Come on, yeah.
Hell yeah, it was incredible.
It was an apartment in New York City with a closet.
What'd you say, Cookie Monster?
Right, but as we discussed, in the 80s, New York was, you know, a scary place. So it was a nice apartment, but maybe it was in a shady neighborhood.
Well, his elevator is pretty shady.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Well, nowadays you go to New York City in Times Square and it's like Disney World. But back then, it was just the worst possible area you could be. Last place you'd want to bring your family anyways, because it was just all prostitution and drug dealers. But
I think they depicted that pretty well in the movie.
Absolutely, they did. What did you guys think of the movie? Your quick thoughts on it. Looking back at a movie that's, how old is that now? 1988. 26 years old. Oh.
That's when my little brother hatched. His egg.
Wow.
In 1988.
That's
yeah.
crazy. I remember watching this in the theater. Surprise, I was 4. Man, I feel old.
Well, it's happening.
How do you think it holds up, though? Like, 26 years later?
Well, I think we watched the digitally remastered version on your nice TV there.
I don't know, it skipped a couple times. My $5 DVD skipped a couple times.
It held up pretty good. Yeah, I think. I mean, the fashion gives it away.
And lack of technology.
Yeah.
But what do you think it is about movies from the 80s that still hold up? Because, like, we talked about Ferris Bueller last time. I always talk about, did I ruin that movie
just
for you?
It's so depressing and real.
So sorry. I'll try not to do that with this movie.
This movie's funny. Yeah.
But, like, Back to the Future, you think of Top Gun, all of these 80s movies that still, like, when you compare what came out in the 90s, a lot of times the 90s movies are more aged, it feels like, than stuff from the 80s.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
The 80s were the best. That's when we came into the world.
Yeah.
It's true.
I don't know. It's hard to.
Do Do you think it's the lack of technology or the fact that they don't really depend on that in the movies to tell a story?
I think, as Daphne said, it's when we came into the world. So our generation still appreciates that time period when, you know, kids played outside and weren't stuck to computer screens and you know, had imagination. We still value those things. But I think if you take a kid that was born, like, late 90s, or, like, a teenager right now, and sit them in front of this and make them watch Big, they'd be like, okay, this is all right.
But I think we were born in a special time, because just like what she's saying, right, we know what a cassette player looks like, but we also know how to work an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember how I told you my cousin's daughter, they rented a truck because they were moving or something like that, and they were in a U-Haul. And she said, oh, mommy, it's hot. Like, what do I do to put down the window? She said, just roll down the window. And she looked at it, and it was one of those wind-down ones. We actually had to grab the knob and turn it. She's like, I don't, what is this? She's like, oh, my God. Like, she grew up pressing a button, like an electronic window. But we're from the type of world that we've
transitioned through that. Yeah, it's true. Do you think the generation that's been born, I guess, in the last 12 years, that are going to become teenagers, they're now going to be, they're going to be the ones to not appreciate the stuff that came in the 80s, kind of like the way maybe things that are from the 60s, movies from the 60s or from the mid-70s, our generation didn't really appreciate. But, I mean, when you compare it, like, we're born in 84, right? And so stuff that came out maybe in 1970, which would have only been 14 years old at the time, we're just like, this sucks, this is like old, like,
whereas, I don't know, it depends,
some things,
like, for example, not that long ago we watched together Batman.
Yeah.
Okay, and that wasn't so bad. It was old, but it wasn't so bad. The original series of Star Trek, also not so bad.
Yeah, I think you have, but see, we also came from that generation where those things were still being on TV when we were kids. Yeah. So that was our first introduction to maybe Star Trek or to Batman. Whereas today, kids that know Batman are going to maybe know the animated movies or, you know, Christian Bale or something that's so much more, not hyper-violent, but, you know, more intense, more in the real world. Whereas now you watch old Batman and it's like a big joke. Like, you laugh at it and appreciate its innocence. So do you think, like, now kids today are just, they're going to look at that stuff and be like, this is too slow. I mean, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy with some kids.
Yeah.
And they said there was too much talking in it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, that movie's just action-packed. And there's, like, a couple scenes where they sit around and talk.
Yeah, I just think that kids are just too bored. Like, they can't follow dialogue. It's like they have to have bright lights and flashing colors to...
Yeah.
I think the kids of the future are going to be sissies.
Why is that?
Just because, just exactly what you guys are saying. Because
they just don't go outside enough.
They just don't know how to live. Like, they're so dependent on these things that we have in front of us right now.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It's true. So, getting back to this movie. At that time, there were a bunch of movies in the late 80s that all had reverse aging as a story. They had 18 Again. They had, like, Father Like Son. And there was another one, Vice Versa, where they take, like, the father and son or the grandfather and grandson switch places. This was a little different because here is a kid that wanted to be older as opposed to going back to being younger. What do you think the appeal was for movies like this back then, the reverse aging or getting older? Because we don't see that as much anymore.
I have a very deep theory on that, but I think it's going to...
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, kids aren't so obsessed with growing up anymore because they have everything they want now. Right? Back in the day, kids wanted to grow up because adults could do things that they couldn't do, and they, you know, he wasn't tall enough to ride the ride, and he was all dejected, whatever. But now, like, kids just, they get everything they want. They're doing what they want. They don't care. So, for them, a concept of a movie of, well, you have to wait till you're older isn't really gonna fly.
When you were 13, did you have, like, that desire to get big again? Like, to get, yeah, I guess get big? Grow up?
I had it in certain points. Like, if my sister was going out with her friends, I'm like, oh, if I was older, I'd be going.
Yeah.
To be with them.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. So
if you're a younger sibling, you feel that way, for sure.
That's true.
You're like, oh, I can't do this because I'm too small.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else can. Or I have to go, everyone else can go to bed at 9 o'clock, I have to go to bed at 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing out on the fun.
Yeah.
And you're trying to listen to the movie from the top of the stairs or something like that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just realized there was a... Jennifer Garner had that 13 going on 30, which is very similar to this,
mm-hmm.
just from a female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So there has been a few, but not like back then. There was like 4 movies that year, all about...
There's Freaky Friday, too, was another one.
Yeah, that was a remake, though, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that like they switch places,
yeah,
though?
That's right.
It's,
yeah.
But it's, yeah, changing, going from being young to older.
They've done that twice now, yeah.
Yeah. I remember liking this movie a lot when I was a kid, because you always wanted that one day to be... You know, what it'd be like to be an adult, to have a job, to be able to live on my own. But when you see this movie now, like, seeing Tom Hanks go from overnight, from a kid, 12-year-old kid, 13-year-old kid, to being 30, it's terrifying. Like, what do you do with yourself? You have no, you don't have clothes that fit, everyone's gonna be creeped out by you.
Well, then his mom, like, pulled a knife on him.
Yeah,
like... and then he goes to that sad little shady apartment and just cries himself to sleep.
It was, like...
It's terrifying.
That scene, like, he captured it so well. Like, you see this big man, 6-foot-plus man, and you really see the child in him
mm-hmm.
in that scene when he hears the gunshot. It's pretty sad. Tom Hanks, his performance to be a kid was incredible. But it really, like, it hit me. Like, these kids, they want to do so much stuff on their own, right? And then sometimes you wish, like, you know what, be an adult for a day, let's see how you do, let's see how much you enjoy it, because the world is a terrifying place from that quick transition. What are some scenes you guys liked in it, some stuff that is memorable for you?
The piano scene
in the what's this toy store called, the Schwartz something Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play that on the piano?
Can I?
Yeah.
I can do anything. Have you met me?
Yes, I've met you. I don't ever remember you playing the piano, but okay. You guys? Anything? Piano scenes takes the cake?
Well, that's the yeah.
Yeah, that's
knows
the,
that one.
Yeah, everyone knows that one.
When he's trying to pull the beluga fish eggs off of his tongue. Yeah, when you're little and you eat something you dislike, everybody knows you dislike it.
Yeah.
I think that was well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point in your life, you kind of go, well, wait a second, I have to be proper about this. When
mm-hmm.
you're 13, you don't care.
It's true.
Yeah, it's good. I wonder if we should be more like that.
Just being like...
at the dinner table at some fancy place, and you, like, took a napkin and started wiping off your tongue.
That would be hilarious.
But that was... part of his charm, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the people who got close to him appreciated, was the fact that he was so real. Do you think that that's something that we miss out on when
yeah.
we get older, is that mm-hmm. now we're always trying to
impress?
I think that was the whole point of the movie, with the other adults there, that were like, they just, even near the end, he kind of fits into that whole, like, I have deadlines, he
uh-huh.
tells his friend, and like, he's starting to get into being an adult, whereas just when he realizes that it's going to take 6 weeks to get the list, there's the scene where he's sitting on the bench by himself, and he's like, I'm going to be 30 for the rest of my life. Like, we wish we could be now,
mm-hmm.
but when you're a kid, like, 30 is so old, and, you know, but I like that scene. That was a good scene.
Mm-hmm. What do you think changed him? Because when he first embraces the fact, okay, I'm older... I've got a job. He gets so excited.
Spends all his money.
He made $187. and he gets it out in cash. So he's like, he feels like him and his buddy are living the dream, even though they're in that little rat hole of a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
To then all of a sudden being vice president. What do you think changes him by the end of the movie, where he's almost losing himself and forgetting?
Adulthood.
When he gets his first, like, he has to do something. Before, he could just play around with toys, but when he actually had to do something, like, he was given a responsibility, that's when he changed.
And he took it seriously.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to, you know, do his presentation, and his job, his boss liked him, and you just fall into it, I think. But his colleagues were all about the money, whereas he was all about, he still had a different perspective.
Being an adult sucks.
Telling you.
This is like a common theme.
What? Being an adult? Well, this is...
Ducks.
No, but
guys, we're adults. We can do whatever we want.
No, it's true, but I when I watch these movies now, like, and you see how you lose that youth in you, like, it's so important, I think, to keep that 13-year-old in you in order to really enjoy. Because some people are always scared to just be that person, even though that's who we essentially are. But you get thrust into, like, okay, now you got to pay bills because you're 20. It's like, you're not really that much different from 20 to when you were 15. It's not that much more.
Wow.
There is, but really, in 5 years, it's just what people are allowing you to do. You don't think?
Well, thinking about the movie, right? He wakes up as an adult in his bunk bed in his little cartoon underpants.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out, but his mom is making his breakfast and his lunch for him, and all he has to do is get out the door and go to school. But we don't have that luxury now. Like, we have to make our own breakfast and our own lunch, and we're not going to go to school and come home and have mom have dinner on the table. Like, those are all responsibilities that are essential to our lives. Like, we have to live, we have to eat, we have to do these things.
Oh, I wish I would have appreciated it more.
Yeah, well, that's what growing up is all about, eh?
Yeah, it's true.
You're making this movie depressing, Eric.
Sorry. I'm ruining another movie for you, little sparrow. Okay, well, what are other things that you liked about it?
Let's see, I made some notes. The fashion, there are some serious shoulder pads and poofy skirts going on there. I really like that.
You like that?
His girlfriend's character, basically, like, my aunt had her entire wardrobe. So
you think she stole it from Elizabeth Perkins' wardrobe?
No, she had a little bit of a twist on her own thing. There was some, like, okay, so is that her name? The actress?
Yeah.
So she had those Aztec pillows. Okay, right?
Okay.
So my aunt maybe still has a salmon-colored leather sofa.
Nice.
And the pillows were, like, you know, the ivory situation to match up there. Like, her apartment is basically, like, what my aunt aspired to in the 90s. Back in the day. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the fashion was
so I appreciated that. Yeah, it was very well represented. Like, those earrings that she wears to that party. She's got, like, light fixtures on the side of her face.
It's true.
Like, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I like the toys that were in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw the pogo
ball.
Yeah.
I think my parents bought me an imitation one. Because I don't remember, because I remember standing on it and it just went right to the ground.
Deflated a little bit.
Yeah, like, it didn't take the weight. Like, I don't know. I don't think it was, like, the original. I don't know. Nobody checks it. Like, you're given something and you take it as a kid, right? But then you start realizing that it's not quite the way it should be. Like, remember the one that you would, the skip thing?
Yeah, skip it. Put it around your ankle and you jump and it counted?
I remember that, yes, it would count. And I would remember that the real one, it was, like, stiff, right? It was, like, a stick. Mm-hmm. But the one I was given, it was, like, a string. It was, like, a rubber string.
That's complicated.
So as long as you kept skipping, that's when it would erect. No? That's not the word.
No, it would
extend. That's the word.
Yeah.
That's the word. So
always count on you.
Okay. But you know what? I think that imitation one was better than the first one.
Why?
The original. Because it was harder. You had to really... You had to really
Our
keep
wild
going.
Card. What did you... What are some things that you liked from the movie before... Before Daphne J makes it any more inappropriate.
When he's inside of the limo and he's talking to his not-yet-girlfriend, she's trying to, like, express some true feelings that she has, and he's like, I can't do this. So he's
just, he's got the ADHD.
Playing around with the video. He plays around with the sound, stands up, and then the next scene, which I really appreciate, is she's inside of a car with her to-be-ex-boyfriend, and he's listening to the news. It's very boring. This is what life is for adults. Mm-hmm. And she goes and plays with the radio. She does something that, you know, that you would do if you were a kid. And he can't handle it. And she likes that
moment.
He's
like, why do you have to play with everything?
Yeah. And I really liked that scene. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't notice that when I had watched it in the past. that she had turned on to the song that was playing in the car. I guess I didn't pay attention to that detail, but now I noticed it. And I think it's movies like stuff like this that we grew up watching, I think that keeps our generation younger. Because we still have that play, a little bit more playfulness. Because I don't remember 30-year-olds when I was a kid being that type, you know, being playful and being Mm-mm. young at heart. Mm-hmm. And they were always parents. They were always doing something. Yeah. But I think our generation that grew up watching these type of movies are still are a little bit more youthful. People now in their 20s are more like teenagers. People in their 30s are more like their 20s. No, you don't find
that? No, I do. I just think that it had a lot, like, we're getting deep again, but I think it had a lot to do with, like, the times. Like, the 80s were, like, financially it wasn't necessarily a good time for a lot of people. The early 90s, the economy kind of tanked a little bit. So, it was hard times for people. So, like, seriousness and responsibility was, like, if you had small kids that you had to feed and you didn't have a job, like, you know, you didn't have time to be youthful and carefree. You had to feed your kids.
I think that's the other thing, right? I think our parents became parents pretty young.
Quite young, yes.
You know, like, we're trying to stay away from that as much as possible.
Yeah, we have, like, 10-year-olds.
Well, yeah, my parents had our kids when, like, 12 years. Like, so we've been married for almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. They would have been married for 12 years and had kids almost immediately. I can't even imagine that
now. Yeah, I know.
Mm-mm. Yeah, well, like, think about it, like, even just this room where we're recording now, it's a 12-year-old's room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much.
There's comics everywhere.
Toys.
Some stuffed animals.
Video games. That you wouldn't, that wasn't, this would have never been acceptable back then for adults to be like this.
Mm-mm. No.
And if they were, they couldn't share it with people.
No.
Really, right?
No.
Well, nowadays, it's common. It's like, you kind of expect people to have something like that. Like, you enjoy your Star Trek novels and your, you know, your whatever geeky stuff you might be into. I like my comic books. I don't think back then it was quite like that. And I think it's these type of movies that kind of allowed people to remember being youthful, I think. Mm-hmm. There's something else that I have, but I forgot. Oh, I don't think today it would... Okay, this is getting deep again. But, sorry. But, like, did it not creep anybody else out that he was 13 and he had a girlfriend that was 30? Like, that whole, like, scene that they...
I think you forget.
Yeah.
You forget that that's the situation.
Do you...
She doesn't forget, though. Once she figured it out, she doesn't forget.
No, but, like, as a viewer, you're like...
It's creepy.
It's gross. She's a pedophile.
Do you think that they would ever get away with something like that today? Having a movie?
Why not? Isn't that more now than 30? Before.
No, because in 13 going on 30, she wakes up and she's in that life. She hasn't just changed. It's actually her, and she's, like, been put into her consciousness.
In her future life.
Yeah. So she is that person. But, like, this one, it's, like, literally a 13-year-old kid that in a body of a grown man with a grown woman. Like, I don't know if that would be as acceptable today to be a family movie.
Well, I think there would probably be controversy, but I don't think it would stop anybody from making a film like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it lends more to the imagination, too. Like, they don't show...
No.
Like, that's implied that
Like,
his first day back on the job, he's a happy dude.
No, and I was thinking about that. And I don't know if he necessarily... Maybe he did. But just copping a feel, he was all happy. Because that's never happened before. So maybe that's why he was all happy.
He turned the lights back on.
Right? But, like, but I don't know. But then, when he starts explaining to her... what his age is and whatever, and she's like, oh, that explains it.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
I think it's pretty, yeah.
But despite that situation, she still was really into him.
Well, I think she felt more loss to the idea that he was, in fact, a 13-year-old child and needed to go back to his parents. Because even when they're in the car, he, like, leans in to kiss her, and she just, like, hugs him and kisses him on the forehead, because she's, like... Mm-hmm. Wrapping her head around the idea that something happened.
I don't think she believed it, though, until it actually happened.
But she smiled at the end. That's what creeped me out. She looked at him, she smiled like, oh, there you are.
I think it was just more like, okay, this is legit. And like, I think she's going to be okay, so I'm going to be okay, too. I think it was more that smile situation.
Yeah. You know what part I did like in the movie that kind of goes sometimes unnoticed, is when he helps the kid with his homework.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that he took out that time to be like, oh, I studied that. And then with the father was like, there's company, like, you mm-hmm. know, he pushed him off to the side. I think that Tom Hanks doing that, at like, being a child himself is kind of like a reminder to parents that you got to put yourself as a kid again.
Mm-hmm.
And
put yourself on their
put yourself on their level, even when it seems inappropriate to be available to them. Like, he stopped eating his dinner and got onto the, you know, on his hands and knees with the kid, going and putting it in perspective that they understood.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, the parents were like, yeah, later we'll hire a tutor for you.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the whole undercurrent of the movie was that. Like, just because you're an adult, it doesn't mean that life stops around you. Like, it's not all about money and work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about your relationships and your friends and your family and enjoying your current...
whatever stage you are in life, enjoy that. And remember to be a kid,
mm-hmm.
I think. Play video games sometimes. Have a trampoline in your house.
Mm-hmm.
If your ceilings are high enough.
Yeah, if they're not, maybe outside.
That's a good idea. Would you have a trampoline in your house if you had 50-foot ceilings?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would, yeah. Like, in another room, maybe, but... like, you know, away
in
from...
another room.
Like...
how many rooms do you have?
Well, I live in a loft in New York with 50-foot ceilings.
So...
like, I just mean, like, you know, there's a dining room table, there's a sofa, and then the trampoline. You need it, like, you know, come into the... exercise room, or
I put it right by the dining room, right off the trampoline. Just jump right in.
Yeah.
See?
You guys full? Have a
dunk. Let's digest.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. All right, guys. I guess we could put a pin in it there. That's Tom Hanks, 1988, Big. Thanks, guys, for being on the show with us for the first time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
you. Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Sure did.
That's
I'm
good.
I'm still nervous.
You can contact us at caveofsolitude.com, leave a comment on the website, or email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. And I forgot to mention last time, well, I didn't actually because we didn't do a podcast since, but Cyber City Comics, on the 21st of February, which is the weekend coming up, they have a sale at their warehouse, where there's lots of comic books for $1. Everything's on sale for 20% off or more. So go check that out if you want. It's within the city, GTA, I don't remember the exact address, but on the website, it's there. So this upcoming weekend on the 21st, Cyber City Comics is having their sale. So thanks, guys, for listening. We will catch up with you soon. On behalf of Daphne J, Little Sparrow, our wild card, Eric Anthony, and this was The Cave of Solitude.
Watch Big.
I'm gonna just say you.